David Bowie and Pat Metheny, first of all, and this is Nos America, and Billy Joel, and We Didn't Start the Fire at 40 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show, away from the American elections. Quite concerning what you were saying in the French news about record numbers of coronavirus infections again.
Yes, it's as they predicted, hence the lockdown.
And, well, obviously the curfew measures they introduced in Paris and other large cities 3 weeks ago didn't work, which is why they've moved into a more sort of... severe action. But so what happens if it doesn't work this time? What do we do then? Go back into full lockdown with schools closed and, you know, rationing in shops and queuing outside and the rest of it?
Well, the Scientific Council have said to expect that this is going to continue until there is a vaccine or a treatment, which they are predicting maybe in the fall of next year. But yeah. As far as schools being open, yes, there's a lot of people aren't really understanding why the schools are still open, because children obviously are, you know...
Well, they don't get very bad sort of symptoms, but they can carry it and pass it on to other people.
They can carry it and pass it on, and they've done some studies in some French schools have shown that there, you know, cases are just like from one student up to 100 other students have been catching it. And of course they're going home and they're back amongst family members.
Yeah, and the other thing that I find very hard to understand is still the number of people saying, oh, you know, it's just one of many diseases out there and lots of people die from different things and why are we all being locked down? But it's just hospital capacity. That's what it is down to. Mm. You know, you fill up the hospital beds with COVID patients, there's not enough room for anybody else. And as Chris Smith, the virologist, was telling us last week, it's not only the finite number of hospital beds, it's finding the skilled staff to actually be able to operate the machines in ICU.
Yeah, it takes 10 years to train somebody to be able to work in an ICU unit. And so then that problem isn't going to be resolved for a very long time. So our only choice, rightly or wrongly, is to keep the hospital numbers down.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, you could have people dying at home who need urgent medical treatment, or worse still, dying on the streets.
But I also understand that young people are saying, you know, come on, we've got to get on and live with this, and maybe aren't taking into account the effects or that it can actually have on not being able to go to hospital and not being able to get the treatment that you need.
Bring on the vaccine.
Would you have it?
Better. Well...
that's another whole game.
I said a few weeks ago that I wouldn't be first in line to have it. So, I mean, I'm trying to maintain the social distancing and the hand washing and the hand gel and all the rest of it.
Yes, but when it comes out, if you're asked to, like, mandatory, everybody has to have it, what would you do?
I'd find it very, very hard for them to actually make it mandatory. I think that would require a
fit. But would you have it?
What if they made it mandatory if you had to have it?
No, if you had it, if it was available, would you have it?
No, not straight away. Would you?
Yeah, I think I would.
You would?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope it works. I'll let you know if I grow another head. Time for this morning's pop quiz. A hat-trick yesterday, probably a big fat zero today.
No, come on, have faith. Question number one. On this day, well, this English singer and musician was born on this day in 1954. It's his birthday today. He scored 10 top 10 UK hits from 1980 to 1983. He had previously played bass guitar in a band who were the headline act at the Sex Pistols' first ever live performance in November 1975. He's also worked as an actor, appearing in over two dozen films and television episodes from 85 to 2003. He once said men look like pandas when they try and put makeup on, and that he has loved 8 women in his life and he can remember every woman's face, and that if you make a mistake, you should enjoy it. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Is he as a solo artist or in a group?
He's in a group.
Oh.
The band...
Simon Le Bon?
No. He played bass guitar in a band called Bazooka Joe. They were the headline act at the Sex Pistols' first ever live performance.
Yeah, rings a bell, but no, I can't think. Midgeur, is it?
No. Happy birthday to Adamant.
Stuart Goddard to his friends.
Question number two. On this day in 1990, the Righteous Brothers went to number one in the UK with which song 25 years
Unchained
after their...
Melody.
Correct. And the track had been featured in which film?
Ghost.
Well done. And finally, on this day in 1984, Paul McCartney went to number one on the UK album chart with a film soundtrack to Give My Regards to Broad Street.
No More Lonely Nights.
Yes, there you go. That wasn't too painful. Were you?
Yeah.
I think my parents went too.
I didn't see them.
Did you not?
Well, yeah, but it's hardly surprising because I didn't know them at the time.
I was only 10 at the time.
It's a bomb, though, didn't it, that movie?
Yeah, but the music was good. I like this.
Yeah. I can wait another day. Riviera Radio.
Business.
Morning.
Very early with the political satire this morning.
Political satire? Just an off-the-cuff remark?
Is that not very respectful, is it?
Well, no, but... right, is your swingometer working?
Swingometer. Yeah, do they have a swingometer in the United States? I don't think they do they? Yeah, election day, certainly going to be an interesting day over the course. Well, hopefully it's an election day rather than days, but let's see how it goes. Start off with the presidential election. Too early, of course, to predict whether President Trump will win re-election. We know there's some very clear warning signs there. It's the impact of COVID-19, fragile economic backdrop, social unrest, along with a difficult electoral map, suggests his path to the White House looks extremely challenging. Battleground states, have been talking about these for some time. The four really to watch out for: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and also Florida. If you take the first three of those, we know they were clinched by a very narrow margin, less than 1% of the vote in each case in 2016. Without those three states, the president wouldn't have won last time. Looking at this year's electoral math, seems he'll need to win all three again to get re-elected. Things stands, Democratic opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden, who remember is from Pennsylvania, does have a lead in all three, although that lead has been tightening, so we wait to see how it plays out. Florida is an early state to watch out for. The rules on counting mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, means the result could come relatively early. Florida, to remember, absolutely vital, it's thought, for President Trump. Could prove to be an early knockout blow for the president if he loses it. If you look at Odds Checker, which is aggregating bets, certainly not Barclays numbers, the implied probability of a Biden victory, according to them, 65.2%.
It's the economy, stupid.
Well, you know who said that?
Bill Clinton.
James Carville.
Oh, so I thought it was Bill Clinton, to George Bush Sr.
No.
Okay, I got that wrong, but he certainly used it on the campaign trail, didn't he?
It is, and if you think about it, only a few months ago, we had a record high stock market, we had a booming economy, unemployment down at the lowest levels in decades, and it was all looking pretty good, the economic argument for President Trump. COVID-19 has certainly altered that argument quite dramatically.
I just worked out this is the 8th presidential election I've covered at this radio station.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
It makes me feel old.
Who was the first then, Ed?
God, that would go back to, have to be George Bush Sr., I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
One term, wasn't it, George Bush?
Yeah, one term only, Clinton. Yeah. And the first president in my lifetime was Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So, as you said, yeah, Florida is the big one, isn't it? 29 electoral college seats, and the margin is too tight to call there. But as you said yesterday, an army of lawyers on both sides standing by to go in, really.
Looks that way. Vital for Trump, not necessarily vital, it's thought, in terms of Biden. He could still go on to win. Very difficult to see how President Trump could win without Florida. Beyond the presidential race, the next results really to watch out for, of course, in Congress, and this possibility of a blue wave. Democrats expected to win the House of Representatives. I think if you look at the odds, again, not Barclays numbers, but if you look at the odds, 6-1 on favourites, the Democrats are for the House of Representatives. The battle for the Senate, the upper chamber of Congress, certainly much tighter. It has, should remember, the power over the passage of legislation can frustrate presidential policy implementation. Senate currently under Republican control, 53-47 majority. 35 seats are being contested. Republicans are defending 23 of those seats. Republican seats that are seen as vulnerable, good likes Arizona, Colorado, Maine, North Carolina, Georgia, Montana, and Iowa, so they could be the swing states there. If Biden wins the presidency and Democrats, of course, control both chambers of Congress, he'll be able to push ahead with his policy agenda relatively unencumbered. That's likely to mean a more federally driven approach, higher taxes, embracing a multilateral approach to foreign relations, aggressive infrastructure spending, and the transition to green energy.
Well, if he makes a clean sweep, he'll just be able to take it easy in a comfortable chair, won't he?
Are you sleepy, Joe?
I don't know. I mean, it's worrying, though, isn't it? I mean, without wishing to be macabre, but both the candidates are in their 70s. So Donald Trump is a few years younger, of course, than Joe Biden. But it does raise the prospects of either Kamala Harris or Mike Pence eventually being in the White House within the next 4 years.
Years and years of experience is probably how they would like to describe it. So let's not be too morbid about the prospects for the candidates on election day.
Of course, they do have the best medical treatment that money can buy as well once you become the president. So on to the markets. And markets, as we've said so many times, don't like uncertainty. And even though they're pretty much calling out a Biden victory, the longer this goes on, the more the volatility will increase.
Yeah, volatility is the major fear, particularly if we were to get to that point of a contested election playing out. No doubt it would be the worst result for markets. US stocks actually rebounded yesterday from last week's rout. Last week, of course, we saw the S&P register its worst weekly performance since March. S&P 500 bouncing back yesterday was up 1.2%. NASDAQ was up 0.4%. Investors showing very few nerves heading into today's US presidential election. Sentiment has been helped by data that showed the we're talking about yesterday's strength in China's economic expansion, those PMI figures. The VIX index eased back, Wall Street's fear gauge, and oil actually clawed back some of its recent losses amid signals that Russia is in talks to possibly postpone OPEC Plus planned output hike in January. Opening calls on the European bourse is certainly looking positive this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 50 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 98 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 40 points.
And more doom and gloom from the airline industry. Hank, so I called you Hank, as many of our listeners do anyway.
We're in the American frame of mind today, so let's go with Hank.
Okay.
Michael O'Leary talking yesterday, grabbing some of the headlines and certainly doing the rounds on the news channels. As you'd probably expect, pretty angry about the current environment that the aviation industry is having to operate in. The low-cost airline reported a net loss of €197 million for the 6 months to the end of September. No surprise after passenger numbers fell by 80%. Summer, of course, normally the most profitable time of year for the European airlines. The comparable figure for last year was a profit of €1.1 billion. Not the only one, of course. If you look at ING, IAG, owner of British Airways and Iberia, they lost, I think, £6 billion in the first 9 months of the year. EasyJet has lost £800 million in 2020. And the outlook still remains grim. Ryanair expects to record higher losses in the second half of its financial year following the travel restrictions and ban on holidays in many of its key markets, particularly the UK.
Getting your banks and your airlines confused, ING,
yeah,
the bank, IAG, the airline.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Michael O'Leary actually ruffling quite a few feathers yesterday, which will probably not be music to the ears of his customers.
No, taking a different view perhaps to some of the other airlines, although I think he has been joined by the likes of Wizz, saying that he wouldn't automatically, I think, refund passengers who've booked on their flights. Although I think they can change it, if memory serves me correctly, from what he was saying yesterday. But listen, it's lots of pressure on the airlines. I'm sure many passengers will understand and will be prepared to move their booking forward if that's the case.
And that's just one area of the economy that's been decimated. I mean, with the new series of lockdowns, England's joining in with everybody else on Thursday. How much damage this time around is lockdown going to do to the Eurozone and the UK economies?
Probably less severe than obviously we're talking about in March and April, because I think governments are looking to balance the medical demands against the backdrop of the broader economic ramifications. Medical knowledge has improved quite substantially, so I think the economic impact will be less severe, but you are talking about contractions now, probably for the UK economy and for the Eurozone in the fourth quarter. The hope was it would be flat to slightly positive. So the prospect of a double dip recession certainly looming large. We had, of course, a huge fall in activity in the second quarter, strong rebound in Q3. The fourth quarter is where the game's going to be played out. These restrictions suggest a further contraction likely to take place.
And it's the retailers that are really going to suffer, though, isn't it? I mean, if this lockdown is extended beyond, it's the 1st of December here in France and the 2nd of December in the UK, they have to stay closed in the run-up to Christmas. God knows what's going to happen.
Crucial time. That's the difference with the lockdown, probably this time compared to where we were in March, April. It's a sensitive time of year for the hospitality sector and for the retailers, and without that ability to get customers through the doors, it's going to hit them incredibly hard. Governments will need to come up with further support packages, but the question is, where does that stop? How high can that bill go? How many years will we be paying off the bill as a result of these the fiscal response? That's the question we need to ask ourselves.
Oh well, should add a few billion more to Jeff Bezos's bank balance.
Amazon shares certainly done incredibly well, up 70% something year to date, I think they are, something around that number.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 129, euro dollar coming in at 116.5. We're going to get just under 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
Well, I suppose when we talk this time tomorrow, the outcome of the election won't be decided, but perhaps we'll have some pointers as to who's going to be in the White House for the next 4 years.
Well, maybe decided, but may not have the full detail of it coming through. So let's hope we get to that position tomorrow, and look forward to discussing it with you.
Yes, well, me too, and talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
France has recorded a new record of COVID-19 contaminations and an unprecedented level of mortality since April. For the first time since April the 20th, French hospitals have recorded more than 400 victims of COVID-19 in the past 24 hours. A record 52,518 cases were diagnosed on Monday, according to data provided by health authorities. The previous record of 52,010 contaminations dated back to Sunday, October the 25th. The pressure continues to increase in hospitals, with 3,730 COVID-19 patients in intensive care. The total number of people hospitalised is 25,143. In the Principality, 9 new cases were reported amongst residents on Monday, bringing the total number of residents affected by COVID-19 to 375. 12 people are currently in hospital and 82 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, France's Scientific Council has warned that even if the recent restriction measures are successful, the second wave of COVID-19 may not be the last, advising authorities to prepare to manage successive waves of the epidemic until the arrival of a possible vaccine or treatment. A survey carried out by IFOP has revealed that 56% of French people are afraid of being contaminated by the coronavirus in the coming weeks, adding more that 7 out of 10 French people say they are ready to accept being confined again after December the 1st and during the Christmas holidays. 63% of those questioned believe that it's better to take too many health precautions to protect the health of all, while 37% would prefer a rapid return to normal life to protect the economy and the standard of living. The Ministry of the Economy has announced that following the declaration that non-essential items are to be banned from sale in supermarkets during the lockdown, perfume, hygiene, beauty, childcare, hardware and stationery departments of supermarkets can remain open. The decision was taken by the Ministry of the Economy during a meeting with representatives of food brands and supermarkets on Monday. The Ministry of the Economy said that they would grant a tolerance until Wednesday for supermarkets to close the shelves of non-essential products. This concerns, in particular, sales of clothing, toys, furniture, flowers and books. The Minister of the Economy will continue to receive trade associations in the coming days to make new proposals on the opening or closing of departments and stores by November the 12th, depending on the situation of the current health crisis. Meanwhile, many towns in our region are publishing lists of local non-essential retailers which are remaining open to offer takeaway or delivery services. The town hall in Coghlin has a list which can be found on the Ville de Coghlin Facebook page. A similar list is currently being compiled by the Monton Town Hall and is expected to be available shortly. A group of teachers in Aix-Marseille have criticised the new health protocol in schools. In a letter posted on Facebook on Sunday, the group of 100 teachers from the region have threatened to go on strike. As part of new restrictions, wearing a mask is now compulsory for all students from the age of 6, a decision which for many teachers in the Marseille region is difficult to respect. They also criticised the Minister of Education for contradictory decisions, asking how can the minister decently authorise 35 pupils to gather in 40 square metres when we don't have the right to be 6 on the public highway. France's Minister of Interior has said police cadets involved in an illicit party last Wednesday evening will be excluded from the police force. The secret party took place in the grounds of the police college in Nîmes before France entered its second national lockdown, but during the preceding period when Nîmes and many other areas of the country were under curfew. News of the gathering broke on Sunday when a journalist posted film of the event on Twitter. Sometimes referred to as the Eiffel Tower of Nice, the Negresco Hotel has announced its closure until further notice due to the national lockdown. The hotel follows in the footsteps of the Carlton Hotel in Cannes, which had already closed at the beginning of October in response to an unprecedented collapse in activity, a victim of the health restrictions and cancellations of trade fairs and conferences. The SNCF has announced that it's to sharply reduce TGV and Ouigo traffic. Three quarters of TGV and Ouigo trains will not be operating from November the 5th. Due to the national lockdown, there will only be five round trips per day between Paris and Lyon, three between Paris and Dijon, and two between Paris and Grenoble until the end of lockdown. The decision comes as travel between regions is very limited by the government and reserved for business trips or essential travel. In other news, emergency rescuers who intervened during the Nice attack on worshippers in the Notre Dame Church last Thursday are to be tested for COVID-19 after it was revealed that the attacker has tested positive. The perpetrator, a 21-year-old Tunisian, was seriously injured during his arrest after killing three people. He's still hospitalised, but his life is not in danger. A 29-year-old man is still in police custody in Grasse, along with two other suspects, an 83-year-old man and a 25-year-old man. All three are believed to have been in contact with the suspect ahead of the attack. Emergency services were deployed to the scene of the attack on Thursday after a member of the public used an emergency call terminal to raise the alarm. The mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has since announced that having proven their effectiveness, the terminals will soon be installed in front of schools in Nice in a bid to strengthen security. The mayor has also requested that a national tribute be arranged in the coming days to the three victims of the attack in Nice. The mayor said that he had made the request to French President Emmanuel Macron after consulting the families of the victims and obtaining their agreement. Finally, as America goes to the polls today in the presidential election, a recent survey has shown that more than 8 out of 10 French people have a bad opinion of Donald Trump and want Joe Biden to win. According to the poll, the French consider the Democratic candidate as more competent, experienced and more charismatic than the current president, with 85% of those polled having a low opinion of the Republican candidate. 80% of French people consider Donald Trump to be dangerous and incompetent.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, there were two games in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Shabnam Yunus-Jewell at the BBC Sports Centre. Leicester City have moved up to second in the Premier League table thanks to a 4-1 win against Leeds United. Striker Jamie Vardy was the standout player for Leicester, scoring one of their 4 goals and creating another. Brendan Rodgers' side are now a point behind leaders Liverpool. The day's other game saw Fulham beat West Brom by 2-0. It was Fulham's first Premier League win of the season and moved them a point clear of the relegation zone. Manager Scott Parker insists they were worthy winners at Craven Cottage.
I think we definitely got what we deserved, yeah. I mean, look, I thought first half we was well worthy of the 2 goals and the 2 goal lead. I felt we had a real intensity about us. All round game with us was perfect. Second half, the dynamics of a football match and how it was always going to pan out, we had to manage them situations, and I thought we did that very, very well.
Nathan Ake says the chance to play under Pep Guardiola was one of his main reasons for wanting to join Manchester City. The 25-year-old, who's fit again after injury, could make his Champions League debut for Guardiola's side against Olympiacos on Tuesday.
I've seen already in the first few months I've been here that he works with players, that he works with me as well, shows me stuff what I can improve, works with me on the pitch on that aspect. And I feel like I'm learning, so I think that's a plus for me. And as I said before, that's one of the reasons I came here, to work under him, and I see myself improving already, so hopefully it's more to come.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Yes, 8 more games in the group phase of the European Champions League tonight, including Porto against Marseille and Manchester City against Olympiacos in Group C. Well, in Group D, Liverpool travel to Atalanta. games coming thick and fast at the moment,
certainly
aren't they?
Are. Goodness no stopping me. Them.
Yeah. Rugby Union, the awesome Nations Cup match between France and Fiji could be under threat after seven members of the Fiji squad tested positive for COVID-19. Fiji are in a training camp in the French city of Limoges, and further tests on players and coaching staff will be carried out today. Some of the players were involved with the Barbarians squad for the match against England, which had to be cancelled after coronavirus protocols were broken. Fiji's warm-up game against Portugal on the 6th of November has already been called off. They're due to play France on November the 15th. Three games in the Guinness Pro 14 last night. Ulster were 11-7 winners at Cardiff Blues, while Zebre beat Ospreys 23-17, and Leinster were 32-19 winners against Glasgow Warriors. And in racing, Twilight Payments, trained by Joseph O'Brien, has won the Melbourne Cup, but the victory has been overshadowed by the death of the 2019 Derby winner, Anthony van Dyck. The horse broke down in the home straight after suffering a broken leg and had to be humanely euthanised, according to a Racing Victoria spokesman. The death of the 2019 Derby winner comes as a huge shock to the racing community and will heighten calls from animal rights activists and the League Against Cruel Sports for racing to be banned.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracim in the Var, the general situation high pressure 1,030 millibars over southwestern France. Winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat 1,023 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 3 variable winds, calm seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southerly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,024 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4. Southerly winds, slight seas, and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Mainly cloudy again today, some bright spells at times, light southerly winds, temperatures 19 degrees this afternoon, overnight lows 16 degrees with partially cloudy skies, Wednesday and Thursday partially cloudy, highs of 18 to 19 degrees. Bonus, haven't had to put the heating on yet.
Have you not?
No, have you?
Well done. I think I put it on briefly for a moment, because it did go a bit colder, and then a couple of days ago at the weekend, yeah, it got a bit warmer, so didn't have it on for long. Finally, a study has suggested healthy food options could be made appealing by zapping neurons to reprogram your brain into preferring, for example, fruit over chocolate. When faced with a decision, each alternative choice causes a different set of nerve cells to fire in your brain. The more appealing the option, the faster this activity. Working with monkeys, experts from the US found that these neurons encode the values of the different options as the brain works to reach a decision. Moreover, by changing the activity of the neurons, the researchers were able to influence the monkeys' decisions and guide them towards a given choice. The findings may pave the way to new treatments for addiction, eating disorders, depression, and other conditions involving faulty decision-making.
I think my neurons have been zapped already.
Yeah, I didn't have many to begin with.
Thank you. You're up to date. The news is on the website, revereradio.mc.